This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. We've been bringing you some studies for the last several days, several weeks, on demon possession, the reality of demons, and Satan, the old trickster, Satan and his kingdom, baptism with the demon spirit, and many other related subjects. And at this time, we're coming down to the close, but we want to bring you a study, or two, maybe three or four, on this subject, demon holidays. We just feel led to bring these to us, Christmas time and all of those things. Demon holidays. We have a little booklet here by Pastor Shelton entitled Christmas, a Demon Holiday. If you'd like to have that book, pamphlet, it's a booklet we call it, you write me. I'll send it to you free and postpaid. But we're bringing you these studies in preparation for those times. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said in 2 Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And he goes on to give us a picture of the church in the last days. And my brother, my sister, we living in that day right now. Right now. If you want to go back and read in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, listen to these words there. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves," verse number 2, "lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Remember here, the Apostle Paul is talking about the church, not about the world. No, he's talking about the church. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears," according to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:3, "and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Now, my friend, this is just a little glimpse, a little prophetic glimpse into our present-day church that the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago. You and I are living in that day now. All through these studies on demon possession, we have seen how that men and women are blinded by the god of this world, blinded to Satan. And when the Apostle Paul says perilous times, he doesn't mean about the stock market. No, he doesn't mean about your 401k going out of losing all of its value. That's not perilous times that he's speaking of. He's speaking of spiritual perilous time. Paul was lamenting that fact. But let's look. Here is some of the pictures that Paul gives us of the church there in Corinthians. He said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Paul was lamenting the fact that even the Corinthians were beginning to slip away from the simplicity that's in Christ, our Lord. Now that's largely true today, my friend. Not only is repentance the missing note in our present-day preaching, but the person and work of Christ is a missing note in our present-day worship, in our present-day testimony. Do you hear anyone speaking about repentance? Does your pastor speak of repentance? The Scriptures has much about repentance. It says, "Except ye repent," several times in the 13th chapter of Luke. You go there and find it. And also in where John the Baptist was speaking. But my friend, we're missing those days. We're not only missing repentance, but we're missing the person and work of our blessed Lord. Everything now is geared up, slanted towards church membership, belonging to the church, being a member of the church, making a decision for Jesus. Oh, my friend, the old testimony meetings are all but gone, like the old time prayer meetings are gone. And I can remember those days back in my early days when I came under the Pastor Shelton's ministry. They had those old time revival meetings. He would take a tent out across this Southland to Arkansas and Texas and Tennessee and Mississippi and Alabama and set up an old gospel tent for a week or two or three as the Spirit led. And they'd have those old-time prayer meetings where men and women would stand up and praise the Lord for saving a sinner like them. We don't have that anymore. I'm sorry to say that our folks here, they don't praise the Lord like I would like to see them do. They're hesitant to praise the Lord. Satan has many of them intimidated. And then I'm blessed by getting letters and mail from folks all across this country, my age and older, who remember those times, and they tell me of those days when the Holy Spirit would take charge of those meetings and loose the tongues of our people to let them praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for salvation. Praise the Lord for saving an old sinner like me. Praise the Lord for all of those things. But now it's been substituted with all of the charismatic movements which we have. Those people are zealous, my friend, zealous without knowledge. But they are not ashamed to tell what they believe the Lord has done for them. And it makes me ashamed of our people. I wish we would take a stand on the side of the old-time, old-fashioned prayer meetings and old-fashioned tent meetings where Christ was preached and Satan was exposed. But my friend, Paul said, perilous times. Oh, my friend, let me ask you this question. When have you sat in a testimony meeting with men and women, young men and young women, who would stand up and testify to what Christ means to them in salvation? Would you ask the Lord to search your heart, my friend? Pastor, would you ask the Lord to search your heart? Have you ever called on your congregation to pray without ceasing? Call a all-night prayer service at your chapel there? My friend, not to watch TV and play ping pong. No, I'm talking about to pray. Pray round the clock. Pray. You know that's what it's going to take for our nation to have an awakening. I don't believe we'll ever have an awakening of that multitude or magnitude, my friend. But I know we won't unless you and I come together praying, Lord, open our hearts. Lord, save our people. Lord, awaken our people. The first thing that ever happens to an individual who ever gets saved is that he's awakened or she's awakened to her lost condition. And I know that's a missing note in our present day preaching. We preach Christ or preach Jesus, yes, as the Savior. We preach those things. But we never get down to the nitty-gritty. We never get down to the fact that we're totally depraved. I make this statement often, and I stand by it, that if you go astray on the doctrine of total depravity, pastor, preacher, Sunday school teacher, if you go astray on the doctrine of total depravity, you'll go astray on every other doctrine. And then our folks deny and foo-foo the doctrine of election, where the Lord is sovereign, and I mentioned to you once or twice, a preacher came down here from up somewhere up north and settled, and he called me one day wanting to make my acquaintance while I was still there in New Orleans, and we got to talking about this and that and the other, and he asked me, what did I preach? What did I believe? And I began to tell him about the sovereignty of God, about the election of God, about the foreordination of God, about the total depravity of man. And he said, you must be a Calvinist. You must be one of them old Calvinists. I said, no. I don't know much about Mr. Calvin, but I know that God is sovereign. He saves whom he will. The scripture says so. And he hung up on me. That preacher rudely hung up on me. Oh, my friend, I thought we could have fellowship, but he disavowed the doctrine of election, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. What do you have if you deny those great truths, my friend? You have nothing but a shell. You have nothing but a shell. You ever do that? You ever pick up a coconut in the store and rattle it and it sounded like it was good? When you got home with it, it wasn't nothing but a shell. Nothing but an empty shell. I often say it's like a present-day testimony in many of our churches now, Protestant churches, is like a syrup bucket with an acorn in it. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling. We used to do that when we was kids. We had syrup buckets because we raised cane and made syrup. And we'd get a syrup bucket and put two or three rocks or a little piece of gravel in it, and we'd sling it around. That's all we had to make. No, we entertained ourselves. But my friend, I know what that is. That reminds me when I hear some of our modern-day pastors and modern-day people speaking, and they never honor the Lord. They call our Lord Jesus. They call him Sweet Jesus. But my friend, all of those old testimony meetings are gone. We're slipping out. This world is slowly coming to an end, my friend. But listen, listen, listen. How long has it been? How long has it been since you heard those things? You know what they call a revival now? They call it, invite some highfalutin evangelist, they call them, and they preach two, maybe three nights, Thursday night and Friday night, and then Sunday morning. They call that a revival. Oh, my friend, Brother Shelton preached in New Orleans one time for 6 months, never missed a night, except one night they had a flood. They couldn't get to the church. 6 months. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. 6 months, that man preached a revival, and that was a basis of many of our folks coming to know the Lord. So few now get up and tell how God has answered their prayers or how He blessed them materially or furnished all their needs, healed their bodies. But my friend, listen, very seldom do you hear one talk about how the Lord saved him, brought him to repentance, and what Christ means to him. Let me ask you something, my friend. I know, I picture many of you listening to the old trailblazer out there. Many of you may not agree with what I say or a lot of what I say, but could we just agree on this? Do you know the Lord? Are you looking up this morning, tonight? Are you saying, thank you, Lord? I mentioned to you in our last study or two, do you ever like to go out on the front porch on a cool of an evening and wait till the sun goes down and kind of gets dark and gaze up there into the heavens where the stars come out, the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper when we was kids? My dad used to show those things to me, and I still see them. But can you look up there and say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me. I can. I do that. I do that. You lay on your bed at night. You don't have to disturb your wife or your husband. Just lay on your bed. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to utter anything. Thank you, Lord. Are you thanking the Lord? The Bible says, forget not all of His benefits, my friend. Forget not all of His benefits. We just got too highfalutin now, don't we? Most of our churches now, they have robed choirs where they sing those highfalutin songs, cantatas and all those things, and the pastor's got on his robe with his streamers flying around with red ones and blue ones and purple ones and all that. My friend, that's just the world. That's the world. You can't find any reason to have all that stuff. No, sir, you can't. And I know I get carried away sometimes, but I'm just bringing you the raw gospel, my friend. I'm questioning you. You know what? Question and answer is a good time, isn't it? I asked you, are you saved? Are you saved? Can you tell me in a few moments' time what the Lord means to you? I wish you'd just sit down and write me a little note. They got those little quick notes now you can write, or a little email. You can send me an email and say, Pastor, this is what the Lord means to me. And I'll write you back and tell you I've received it and tell you thank you for sending it. And then if you could, slip a $20 bill in there with it. Some of you folks around there in Nashville, Knoxville, and other places up in that area, write me, let me know that you're listening. So remember, my mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.